Somewhere in the dark and nasty regions where nobody goes, stands an ancient castle. Deep within this dank and uninviting place lives...
From FC United of Manchester Radio, Swampy.
Hello.
Overworked servant of the thing upstairs.
Feed me.
But that's nothing compared to the horrors that lurk beneath the trapdoor. For there is always something down there, in the dark, waiting to come out.
Don't you open that trap door?
You're a fool if you dare.
Stay away from that trap door.
Cause there's something down there.
Hello everybody and welcome to this week's Red Rebel Radio. I'm Ben here in a blustery Mancunia, and over there somewhere in the European Union, behind a trade barrier, no doubt, probably, it's Swampy. Hello.
Hello. No trade barriers here, mate. It's all well and good. And in fact, it's a lovely sunny afternoon here in Brussels. The 27 nation countries voted upon it, and it was decided that we'd actually have nice weather come March. We'd just continue with the good weather. And basically, all the bad weather can stay on the opposite side of the channel.
Now,
look, it comes to something. We started on politics at the very beginning of the show, but I can't believe it. I mean, it comes to something when basically the country is in turmoil. Brexit means Brexit. Does it mean Brexit? Is it Brexit? I don't know. What about Brexit? The problem is with all this thing, with all Brexit going on, the Tories have been out sneaking so many disgusting, disgraceful little bits of legislation that have gone by the wayside. And this is the problem when you've got such a major issue that you always slide other things in and therefore people forget about them. And, you know, let's not forget we've had several resignations. We've had, infighting. This is a government that had a majority of 11 and actually used a party that believe in Noah and believe in unicorns. They do believe, don't they, the myth of the unicorn may be related to the Siberian rhino, which actually apparently walked amongst humans about 60,000 years ago.
So unicorns do exist, is that what we're saying here
This was a giant beast with a very with a tusk, and I think that's where the myth. Or they believe the myth of the unicorn may well have come from.
There'll
be only one person to ask actually to find out whether it was true or not, and that would probably be Simon and Frank from Hereford. They might have been right football clubs are owned by the fans can't be sustainable, and maybe the northwest counties is exactly where they need to be. We'll see.
Because we're a media outlet, like other media outlets, we've been trying to get hold of Theresa May. Unfortunately, we've not been able to get hold of her. But we did get a kind of customary, here's a government response on Brexit and the New Deal. Let's hear what they had to say.
Just rejoice, can't you? This is good news for Britain. This is a vote of confidence in our country. This is a good deal for Britain. A good deal. A good deal. This is a good deal. It's a good deal. This is good, GOODDEAL, for Britain. This is a good deal. Good deal for Britain. This is a good deal.
So thank you there. That was a government spokesman talking about the New Deal. It's a good deal. It's a good deal, apparently. Swampy, football, talk.
I'd just like to say that that part of the show was completely and utterly produced by Benjamin, the comedy writer, Stephen Fry and Hugh Laurie, and in no way, shape or form do they have anything at all to do with me or my show. Thank you. Back to football, did you say?
Football. Let's talk about the important match which is taking place on Saturday. We're taking on York. We've got a tourist guide for you all, by the way, coming up shortly, and famous people have come from York and all that. Now, let's talk...
I wonder who you got as your most famous person. I bet it's not the same person as I've got.
Richard III.
Carry on.
Anyway, too soon, that, isn't it? Too soon. Last week, we played Hereford. Gone back to the well on a second occasion. It was always going to be a tough-ass one at Swampy.
It was, yeah. It's... in hindsight, as Neil has said, out of the two, yes, you'd like to progress in the competition, but equally, 3 points were vital for FC United and Manchester, and that performance was excellent. We know... that Hereford had gone through another poor game three days later, but then actually picked up a little bit, drew against Darlington. And they were probably worthy winners in the end, really. I've watched the extended highlights. I've listened to their manager, listened to, obviously, Neil, and listened to some supporters as well. Let's not forget that we were at one stage, you know, right in that game, the disallowed goal. And again, it was a very, very tight angle for the goal to be disallowed. And I'm surprised it actually was disallowed. Yes, we know that Lloyd Ellison made some good saves, and really we were just basically hanging on. But I think really that if that goal had been given, you know, on level terms, I think it would have been a different encounter. However, the overall second half was very, very poor, and Neil would want to rectify that as soon as possible. As you say, and he said, we've got a very, very young team, and a number of leaders within that team are a bit more mature and experienced. But what we need is 11 leaders on the pitch. We can't just afford to carry one or two. And when you've got six or seven that aren't really doing and performing to the very best, then, you know, the likes of Hereford, who have been struggling this season, are going to put you to the sword. And they did put you to the sword. And let's hope that they can go on. Although I do find it interesting, Ben, I don't know what you think, about the FA Trophy draw.
Well, the fact that they've gone into the southern section.
And Brackley too.
Well, that happens every year, to be fair. In fairness, there's always a middle bit, which is either it's neither fish nor fowl. It's neither northern, it's neither pies nor no pies. It's somewhere in the middle, and that's what Hereford is like.
Well, this is ridiculous. But it's ridiculous because the argument for them to be in the division that they're in currently is that it actually geographically is less distance to travel for football matches. So it should be, regardless, it should not be allowed that a team after a period of games in their own sort of like quarter, so shall we say, can then go into a southern side. I mean,
Swampy, you've got to balance it out, and you've got to draw the line somewhere. There's always going to be a border area, like
not
to go back to Brexit or anything like that, but there's always going to be a particular area which isn't going to be satisfied.
Yeah, but hold on a second. If the rule states that you're actually in the National League North, them and Brackley too, they've made that decision to be in there. They should be in the competition until certainly with the FA Trophy.
No, because there's tiers below that, like the Central League, where they're North Central League, South Central League, and whoever's left, it's got to balance out, hasn't it? It's got to be the Northern teams, Southern teams. That's how it works. So if there's more Southern teams, I'm just saying, if there's more, I'm sticking up for the FA on this show of all things.
This is the problem. Yes, I can't believe you're doing it on my show.
Sorry, it's wrong.
It's wrong. Regardless, no, I'm sorry, because you know, it's like Blythe. Let's say
it's not like Blythe. It's not like Blythe. Blythe will never go in the Southern section. No,
they'll join the Scot. They're going to the Scottish FA Trophy.
It's a different competition. Preliminary.
I know it's a different competition, but the point I'm making, it's ridiculous. Because it's more beneficial to a club that are in one division. They know the opposition. They know the kind of clubs they're going to get, and they get the opportunity to go and play in a different division. And ordinarily, not being disrespectful, although this might sound like it is, the northern teams are normally stronger and better. Let's look at the FA Vars. I mean, how many teams from the north of England have won the FA Vars over the years?
I think it's 14, isn't it, in the Northern League alone? I think it is.
Exactly. Yes, and you know, the likes of Morpeth won it in 2017, 16, 17. Spennymoor,
South Shields.
Whitley Bay won it three times on the bounce. South Shields won it the other season as well, beating Cleethorpes by 4-1. No, but the point I'm making is, I just find it wrong. If you're going to be in a division, stick in the division until... I mean, one more game.
What about
that's
the
all
NPL?
It is.
What about the NPL sides and the Central League sides? How do you fit in Stratford, who beat South Shields? Where does Stratford go from the Northern section? Where do they go?
Well, what do you mean? Stay in the Northern section?
Stratford knocked out a proper Northern side, and that means Stratford are in the first round in that grey area. Where do they go? Do they stay in the North? And therefore, how do you balance it out, Swamper?
You do. You keep them in the North, because if that's where they started, that's where you finish until it goes national. And then you just basically, you play whoever. You don't just decide upon, oh, right, we'll get to this stage and then we'll let them go to there, let them go there. It's wrong anyway. Completely wrong in my opinion.
Doesn't matter anyway.
My opinion.
It was tin pot. We didn't want to win it anyway. No.
Oh, yeah, we were talking about FC game. It won't be 3-1. Yeah, look, it's done and dusted. And we'll be coming into this game on Saturday with basically with no defeats in the league in 7. And one defeat in the cup, as it is now, obviously 2 on the bounce. But you know, six going on undefeated for 6 games was always very, very good. Couple of wins in there as well, and important wins. And you know, Saturday is a totally different game against a very, very mediocre, struggling York City.
What's this riling going on? Woodsall did this, and it'll be off on Saturday at Hereford. Too much riling going on. York are a good side, Swamper.
What you're saying is like, well, I did a show last night and I bigged up Dave Anderson's team to maybe win the FA Vars, and off air he strangled me. and I'll be never doing that show ever again. Look, it doesn't lie where you are in the division. You know, the 3 points in front of FC United and Manchester. They are, I am led to believe, a full-time team.
No!
Oh,
check Wikipedia before believing anything we say. Indeed.
Look, they are a club that, by their own admission, find themselves in a position where they're not very used to being there. They were contenders last season. I'm not saying they might not be contenders at the end of this season, but they've had a very, very poor start. The same as Southport, the same as FC United of Manchester, the same as Darlington. You know, some big names, really, and some of those clubs are equally full-time as well. And they find themselves 3 points in front of FC United of Manchester. They've lost 5 out of the last 6 games. You know, that's quite a tall order to, you know, 5 out of 6, and one of them was a draw. So they're on a real bad downward spiral in regards of league form. But they've done okay in the FA Trophy, haven't they? And they're through to the next round there. But I think really, you know, it's an opportunity for FC to go there, because if we quieten their support very early on, if we get an early goal, their heads will drop. They're a team at the moment with not a huge amount of confidence. But they are, look, every team in the division, as far as I'm concerned, there's no bad teams, really. They're just teams that aren't as good as others. And, you know, on their day, we know they can play some excellent football. FC can play excellent football. Curzon, Ashton, Leamington. I mean, look at Blyth, Ben. Blyth Spartans. What we were talking, about a month ago? How they were bottom of the division, set around FC United of Manchester. They're on 23 points now, and they're flying up the table. So, you know, 2 results in this division, when you're on 17 points or more, can really project you further and further up the table. But it's going to be an interesting game, a tough encounter. And as I say, it's a game where FC can't afford to lose, really, shall we say. It is a 6-pointer this time of the season, but we can't afford to lose the game.
I mean, Sam Collins has said, who's the York manager, full-time, I believe, is the fact that, you know, they did beat another full-time side in Kidderminster. I don't believe would... I'm sorry, everyone. I'm just doing it for joke purposes. I don't actually know if they're full-time or not. I'm taking Swampy's word for it. But a good result for them against Kidderminster, so they are quite dangerous.
You just let me drop you fall on my sword, wouldn't you? You wouldn't. You're not taking any responsibility.
No problem at all. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh yes.
Yeah. Happy landings.
Okay. Yes, sir. Goodness gracious me! It's as if it sounds as if you once upon a time you were a Liberal Democrat.
Oh come on! It was one election.
One election too many, Ben. But what was the question? I completely forgot, to be honest. Stab yourself.
They're no mugs. They beat Kidderminster.
Yeah, exactly. And cup competitions, as we've seen, are very different beasts. Last week, FC went to a club that they'd beaten 3-1 the week 2 weeks before, and were beaten 3-1. Great result, as I said, for York this time against Kidderminster. But they are a team in the same division. You know, so nothing that would surprise them. There was nothing new for them to rule the roost over, so to speak. And they got the result there, and a very good result it was too. But as I said, their league form, and you can see it, can't you? So the quality in the trophy hasn't translated into league form. So there's something clearly going wrong at this moment in time. They can't get back-to-back wins. So we'll have to see. I mean, yeah, Kidderminster are a decent outfit, and SC are a decent outfit. And it's all of the day who applies themselves better, who comes out of the blocks in the first 20 minutes, who takes the impetus, and who can keep to the roles and responsibilities within the game and not concede early goals. I think that is the main key, because we don't want FC's heads to drop, you know.
You know, hello?
Oh, that was it.
Sorry. I was shocked. You never end a sentence like that. After 10 years of working here, you never end a sentence. You normally end a sentence with "and," which is very, very confusing in an edit. But anyway.
The edit is, you know. So, you know.
You know.
I was bored of my own voice, Ben, then. I just couldn't be bothered to carry on talking, in fairness. I now know how the listener feels on a regular basis.
Oh, people were happy we were back last week, and they'll be delighted we're back this week as well. Let's talk about those people going to York this weekend. I think this might be, I need to check with Paul, but this might be our last trip to Boven Crescent, because the new stadium is developing a pace. I think that's going to be open next season. I might be wrong in that, but it's a cracking...
I think you are right, Ben, in fairness.
It's a cracking stadium. Yeah. It's up there with Boston's, in my opinion. It's just brilliantly old school, and what you want when you go to a football ground, barring the prices at the food kiosk, obviously.
Oh, yeah, you're talking about the actual Edgar Street itself. Edgar Street? Well, that's a traditional ground. I'm thinking traditional grounds now.
Oh, it's Edgar Street is up there as well. I like Edgar Street too.
You've got Edgar Street, you've got Boothroyd Crescent, and you've got Boston's ground, which are our traditional. And it's funny, actually, isn't it? Because last week we were talking about the possibility of moving from Edgar Street somewhere else. We know Boston are looking at doing that as well. And we've also got York next season. But let's not forget, Ben, there was a team in the centre of York from, I think, 1901. York FC became York Wasps in 1901,
and were in existence.
They were, yeah, but they were in existence to 2002, and they went bankrupt because they moved out. They moved out of the town. So again, you've got to be careful. A lot of these grounds that get moved out of the town sometimes can be problematic. I'm hoping it doesn't happen for York. They've got a great fan base, but equally, you know, the ground that they're at the moment, as you say, is a beautiful traditional football ground. It's always a privilege to go there. Although the seating arrangements for the radio is quite interesting. We all have individual seats going down a small slope, don't we?
It's nice to see the hair, how people's hairlines are developing with your own. As you go down the rows of press, it's nice.
Yeah. Well, when you're saying your own, I mean, I don't have that problem, Ben.
No, I don't.
Is that why you sit at the very top so you can look down so no one can see your monk-esque hairline?
It's a mod haircut. That's what I'm going with. In fact, when
it's
I go
a
into
mod.
The, well, no, when I go into the barbers, I say, "Can I have a Lego head?" That's how I word it. So that's the look I'm going for. Anyway.
So you went for a Lego, yeah, and you bring your Lego bowl in with you.
Let's talk about tourism, and let's talk about those people who...
I hate them, they're blood... No, they're not tourists. The world.
Tourism, oh, tourism, Swampy, not tourists, tourism.
Oh, tourism.
Tourism, be calm.
Tourism.
Tourism.
There you go.
Now, the top attraction in York. Now, York... You should go for the weekend anyway. It's one of those places. Obviously, there's the Railway Museum. There's the York Minster. There's the Wall. There's the Jorvik Centre, which smells of wee and poo. There's the York Chocolates.
Whoa. There's what? Sorry,
The Jorvik Centre.
That smells of wee and poo?
Yeah. You can smell it outside.
I thought that was a chocolate factory.
Oh, boom. York Chocolate Story is also available as well. And a bit like Chester... There's also a city wall, and you can go on a river cruise too. It's one of those places. And
what river would you go on, Ben?
Oh God, you're testing me there. Wait a minute, I know this. It's not the Humber, but it feeds into it feeds into the Humber. It's the is it the Ouse?
He's working quickly there, ladies and gentlemen. I can just hear him.
No.
Let me just.
No! I genuinely said, is it the ewes? Is it the ewes?
What do you mean, generally? But the thing is, the listener knows that you're in a studio.
I'm not typing.
You're getting
typed.
Your meaning.
No, this is me typing. This is me typing. Listen, everyone.
Oh, you can't. Ben, you can't use your effects pedal now. I know you're doing, using your effects pedal. This is how I sound. Hey, kids, this is how I sound when I'm typing.
I've been on the river. I've been on that river cruise. It's nice.
You're probably pointing to one of your minions that are working in the studio with you. Going, you heard what he said, get on it now. And basically, the ooze is correct, Ben. Yes, it is the ooze.
Get in.
Well, it's one of two rivers, isn't it?
Is the Humber the other one? It does feed into
Humber. No, it's
not. It does feed into
forget the Humber.
Oh, sorry.
You've got the River Ouse,
yep.
And the River Foss. So it's right down your alley that way. It's a word you can pronounce, even though you think it's got a TH in it. It's actually pronounced F-O, it's spelled F-O-S-S.
Speaking of alleys, there's also the Shambles, which is a lot like Manchester Shambles.
A bit like this show.
It's a lot like Manchester Shambles, except this street hasn't been moved several times and there's more than two pubs there.
And it also is the... oldest shopping centre in Europe, they reckon.
What, the Shambles, is it?
The Shambles.
What, ours or theirs?
Theirs, because it's been ever present. It's never moved from there, so it's one of the biggest the oldest shopping centres in Europe, yes.
I'm pretty sure as well there's the most haunted pub in York. It's also in York, and you can also...
but that was good. The most haunted pub in York is possibly in York.
It's in York, and while you're there, you can probably sit there and wait for Derek Acora to turn up, I'd imagine.
Well, you know what? I'd rather wait for Helen Murphy and her samosas rather than pecoras.
That is shocking. Shocking.
It is, isn't it?
No.
But it actually is the most haunted city in Europe. They reckon there's 500 ghosts alone in York City Centre, which is quite interesting. I mean, if you believe in ghosts, you believe in all that kind of nonsense. What football club were famed? Do you remember that football club that were famed for blaming a ghost for pulling back a centre forward who's about to shoot and he missed the shot?
I'm gonna have a stab in the dark. I'd imagine it's Liverpool.
No, it was a team in an old North West Counties team, wasn't it? I think it was Rossendale United, wasn't it? They blessed all sides. They said the pitch was haunted and they had poltergeists on there and they missed a shot because they pulled back invisibly.
That blessing worked as well. I think the stadium's been knocked down since. But anyway.
Well, Gordon's alive! Was he there? Hawkmen, dive! No,
you said someone blessed the ground, not Brian Blessed.
Oh, I thought you said sorry.
Speaking of famous people, Swampy, you have a list of famous people who you might bump into or might walk over their grave in York. What have you got for us?
Right, okay, Ben. No, thanks for that. Well, famous people from York: Frankie Howard, Ben. Frankie Howard, Guy Fawkes. Guy Fawkes was born in Stonegate in York, and what's interesting about that is obviously. Effigies of him are burned every year on the 5th of November because he was the gentleman, I'm sure most people would know this, that to try to burn down the Houses of Parliament. The school he went to refused to burn an effigy of him on the 5th of November. They do have a bonfire, but they never ever put the effigy of Guy Fawkes on there, which is quite interesting.
Any other famous people?
Well, famous bands like the Seahorses, they come from York, and Shed Seven come from York.
I thought Seahorses had Finger, the guitarist from Stone Roses.
Yeah, I thought that as well. So the rest of them must come from York.
Do you reckon that's what Disco Down's about? Guy Fawkes, because Shed Seven are from York, and so it's Guy Fawkes. It's all to do with fire and stuff like that, and burning down buildings.
It is interesting, yeah.
Anyway, carry on.
Never put them together. Nicky Culkin.
Of course he is.
Nicky Culkin. I'm not sure if he's actually born in... I don't actually... Because I had a list of footballers and he wasn't on them. And I was thinking, well, if you've got Nicky Culkin who went to play for Manchester United, I mean, he played for York, we know that, and York themselves beat Manchester United. It was 1995, 96, 3-0 in the League Cup, I think it was. But if he's not born in York, he should have been.
Swampy, it's now time for your final
song. No, I'm not finished yet, Ben. Oh, because okay. we've left the most famous person till the end. because we've had in the past few weeks, Ben, can you recall the great personalities that we've come across? Can you remember any of the names?
Rusty Lee.
Rusty Lee was one, yeah.
Yeah, there was the strange TV AM presenter name that I can't quite remember from Hereford.
Wincy Willis.
Wincy Willis. Leo Sayer, I think, came from Colne. Anything else?
Yeah, this week, the famous, the wonderful, the delightful comedy genius. We've already spoken about Frankie Howard. Now, Frankie Howard obviously was a comedy genius, but I can see where this man must have taken the mantle and moved it further and further up the ladder to become the comedy genius and a name that resounds in every household in the country to this day. Sadly departed, so there's no comeback for him. But born in the city of York, the one, the only, the delightfully humorous and hilarious Dustin G.
Who's Dustin G?
Oh, you see, there you go. You didn't know who Wincy Willis were. You didn't know who Rusty Lee was. Now Dustin G is added on to that. You don't know who Dustin G is?
No idea.
I'm
not young either. There's no reason for this. I mean, I'm not like, you know, I wish I was younger, but I'm not.
You know, there's a cheeky Scouser. There's a cheeky Scouser. Not got a really big Scouse accent. That was a comedian that used to do television programs. He ended up on Coronation Street after being the archetypal Scouse thief, and then became a nice person, and then married. Was spending a lot of time with Gail Tilsley or Gail Platt or Gail. I don't know. She's been married that many times. I'm not sure what her name is.
Yeah, just to be clear, Dustin G sadly left this world.
Was it 1996 he passed away?
86. I was three.
It was 86.
I was two you years old. Oh,
those two together were actually stunning. Les Dennis and Dustin G. I mean, who needs Morecambe and Wise? Laurel and Hardy. It was all about Dustin G and Les Dennis.
His real name was Gerald. So there we go.
Yes. I'm not surprised. Why would you not change your name from Gerald to Dustin? I mean, who's coaching? I mean, you got Dustin Hoffman. Dustin G.
There was the wrestler, wasn't there? Dustin Rhodes. The American Dream. Dustin Rhodes.
He was called Dusty, though, wasn't he?
He was Dusty. You're right. Yeah.
Yeah. He was. Yeah. You got Dusty Bin.
Yeah, you have got Dusty Bin, and. Well, on that note, that is the end of this week's Red Rebel Radio. Swampy, what's your final song?
Well, it's funny, we never even talked about politics, did we?
We did at the start.
Well, as you say, Ben, not talked a great deal of politics today. However, I would like to dedicate today's show, actually, though, to Harry Leslie Smith, 95 years of age, fought in the Second World War, staunch socialist, always... been a Labour man, born in Barnsley, and has always fought for the NHS, for socialist principles, and basically a humanist who believes in the rights of the working class. So a big thank you for his life, and I dedicate this show. Not a very good show, probably, Ben, but, you know, that's the way it goes. I mean, you know, he probably won't get that many dedications of shows, and luckily, I'm here to give him a dedication. So, but anyway, yeah, my song. Well, because I've been watching political programmes as I always do, and also been watching some 1970s clips of Manchester United supporters. I think it's time for a little bit of the oppressed, Ben. The oppressed. They're a fantastic, hardcore left-wing socialist band.
Can't we have Shed Seven? Can't we have Shed Seven? Is it too much to ask?
Leave that to Paul. Leave that to Paul. And listen, it's the AFA song, AFA, AFA song. And don't be alarmed by the lyrics. There's no swearing in it, Ben, so don't worry about that.
Okie dokie. Right. Thank you, Swampy, for joining us this week. And you have a lovely weekend. And don't forget, FC Live with myself and Emily Maguire this week, by the way. So tune in.
Emily Maguire?
Yep. Because our York pundit. She's our Yorkshire pundit, isn't she? So she'll be there. Yes, 2:30 on Saturday. Swampy, you have a lovely week, and we'll speak to you next week, my friend.
This is FCUM Radio, the official radio station for the preservation of the balm cake.